probably look at John chapter 3, or chapter 2, rather. The Gospel of John chapter 2. On the third day, there was a marriage in Cana of Galilee, and the mother of Jesus was there. And both Jesus was called and his disciples to the marriage. And when they wanted wine, the mother of Jesus saith unto him, they have no wine. Jesus saith unto her, woman, what have I to do with thee? Mine hour is not yet come. His mother saith unto the servant, whatsoever he saith unto you, do. And there were set there 6 water pots of stone, after the manner of the purifying of the Jews, containing 2 or 3 persons apiece. Jesus saith unto them, fill the water pots with water. And they filled them up to the brim. And he saith unto them, draw out now, and bear unto the governor of the feast. And they bear it. When the ruler of the feast had tasted the water that was made wine, and knew not whence it was, but the servants which drew the water knew, the governor of the feast called the bridegroom, and saith unto him, every man at the beginning doth set forth good wine, and when men have well drunk, then that which is worse. But thou hast kept the good wine until now. This beginning of miracles did Jesus in Cana of Galilee, and manifested forth his glory, and his disciples believed on him. Very interesting that the first and last miracle of our Lord in John's Gospel has to do with his glory. He manifested his glory at the first miracle, which was at a wedding. And then we are told that they saw the glory of God at the last miracle, which was a funeral. So that the glory of God may be seen in our joy, as well as in our souls. Now every miracle that our Lord performed in John's Gospel was for the purpose of unfolding the great spiritual truths that are for eternity. For instance, he taught the new birth in chapter 3. Then he illustrated it with a miracle of turning water into wine. Turning our melancholy into the very joy of heaven. And then you remember when he fed the 5,000 besides women and children, we are told that he said on that occasion, I am the bread of life. And so the miracle was an illustration of the fact that Christ was the bread of life. Then when he spoke of himself as the light of the world, I am the light of the world, he demonstrated that by opening the eyes of a blind man. And then when he said, I am the resurrection and the life, that was demonstrated by bringing Lazarus out of the grave. So that every miracle of our Lord was for the purpose of unfolding great spiritual truths that are for time and for eternity. Now, I'm going to take these 6 water pots just as a little picture of you and of me, human beings. And we are likened to water pots in the Bible. You remember in 2 Corinthians 4, it is said that God has put a treasure in these earthen vessels, which really is water pots. And that treasure is the knowledge of the glory of God. So we will take these six water paths as a picture of human beings. And God wants to fill every human being with the water of His Word. And then the miraculous touch of Christ will turn it into the very joy of heaven. John's Gospel seems to have 18 chapters that are divided into three sections. The first six chapters, we see the water path and their entrance. The second six chapters, we see the water path, the empty one, filled with water. And then the third six chapters, we see the Lord's miraculous touch of turning the water into wine. Now let us think of the empty water pot in the first six chapters. We look at chapter 1 and we see wandering feet. And as we look at those wandering feet, searching for rest, when there was no rest, they cried out, "Where dwelleth thou?" And he said, "Come and see." And they went, and they found rest in the resting place of the Lord Jesus Christ. Wandering feet, restlessness of soul, is the picture of the empty water pot, the empty soul without Christ. Then when we go to chapter 2, there's no wine. That is, there is no joy. Now we do read of the pleasures of sin, but we never read of the joys of sin. The pleasures of sin are for a thief, but there is a joy that God alone gives. That joy runs deep. That joy is born of the knowledge of sins forgiven, the blessedness of eternal life, and peace with God. And so, when Mary said, "They have no wine," she expressed the wonder and a truth that has been proved by every one of us. There is no joy in sin. There is no joy in wandering. There is no joy with God excluded from our lives. Our lives with God excluded is the most melancholy. It is a sad spectacle indeed. Then when we go to chapter 3, there's no light. There is a man that comes to Jesus by night. And that night was indicative of the soul that was in absolute darkness. But thank God he came. And then when he came, the Lord Jesus Christ said, "You can't see the kingdom of God." He had no light. "You cannot enter into the kingdom of God." He had no light. And he had neither light nor light. And so, no rest, no joy, and no light. That's the picture of the first three chapters of John. But then when we come to chapter 4, there is a woman, and she had no one to love her. She had no husband. And as we look at that sight of our Savior, coming into contact with a soul that felt no one loved her, and yet she was in contact with the lover of our soul. And so that is life. Where there is no Christ, there is no rest, there is no joy, there is no life, there is no love either. And then when we come to chapter 5, the cry is, "I have no helper." Here was a man that lay on a bed for 38 years. And he says, when I'm ready to step into the pool, he says, someone else steps in before me. And he says, I have no one to help. And the Lord Jesus draws near to that soul. And he says, as it were, I'm the helper that you need. And he says, rise, take up thy bed and walk. In other words, what Terry Kent for 38 years, he was going to catch by the grace of God. And there's many a soul that's bound with sin. There's many a soul that's loaded with guilt. But when they are touched by the miraculous finger of the Son of God, they rise above their degradation, their evil habits, and they rise to newness of life in our Lord Jesus. But when we come to chapter 6, there's no bread. When shall this great multitude find bread? There's no one to feed them. And they're in a wilderness. And there is no bread. And that's what the prodigal said. In my father's house there's bread enough and to spare, and I perish with hunger. And you know, there are souls today and they're perishing with hunger. They're feeding on the husk that the swine do feed on. They feed on sin. They feed on foolishness. They feed on every philosophy where God is not. And he can say, there's no bread when Christ is excluded. Now that's the picture. Empty water pot. No rest. No joy. No light. No love. No help. No bread. That's the picture of the first six chapters of John's Gospel. Empty water has been deep. God wants to put a treasure in every water pot. It's the treasure of his word. And so the next six chapters, we see the empty water pot filled with water. Isn't that what we do in our Sunday school? We fill the water pot with water. We fill the children with the Word of God. That's what we do at the children's tent. It's not for pressing for conversion. So many have been forced into profession that are not legal. But our business and the principle of our Sunday school and young people's meeting is to fill the water pot with water. Leave it to the miraculous touch of the Son of God that turns that water into wine. Now, how does chapter 7 do it? How does chapter 7 approach the subject? The Lord Jesus Christ is present at the Feast of Tabernacles. And they are drawing water. And then the voice of the Son of God is heard. If any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink. And out of his inward shall flow rivers of living water. That's what God wants to do with us. And so the first thing he does is to give rest to the wandering feet. Rest in Christ. A rest of conscience by the forgiveness of all our sins. A rest of heart by the impartation of peace. And a rest from all our fears by the sweet assurance that our home will be in heaven forever. And so the Lord says, You're an empty water pot. But if anyone comes unto me and drinks, then out of his inward shall flow rivers of living water. How does he get blessed? Chapter 10 of John's Gospel says, the pastor shall go in and out and find pasture, and he maketh me to lie down in green pastures. Now that's the picture of rest, of satisfaction. When you see the cattle in the field, and they're nestling in green grass, chewing the cud, you know their satisfaction. And so, God gives rest. Rest to the wandering feet. And it's found in Christ alone. Where dwelleth that? Where does the Lord Jesus Christ dwell? Well, we know that he's at the right hand of God. But we also know that he finds a resting place in every contrite heart. But there's another place where our Savior finds rest, and where you and I find rest. And that is where two or three are gathered together in my name. There am I in the midst of them. And wasn't it rest this morning? Sweet resting place, we find, of every heart that feels the plague of sin, yet knows that deep mysterious joy of peace with God within. And how near to the cross we were this morning. And we found it a resting place. Resting place from the plague of sin. And there was rest for wandering feet. But there's more than rest. There is joy. Our Lord Jesus Christ said, there are three things that belong to me. And he says, I want to impart them to you. First of all, he says, my love, my joy, my peace. So he says, what belongs to me inherently is what I want to impart to you. My love, my joy, my peace. And when we read of the fruit of the Spirit in Galatians 5, it begins with love and joy and peace. What the Lord calls his own, he gives to you and me. No joy without him, but there's joy abundant with him. Then, no life. Our Lord Jesus said, I am the light of the world. That's chapter 8, verse 12. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. And here is light. Nicodemus couldn't see the kingdom of God. But when he came to Christ that night, his eyes were open, and he received life to see the kingdom. And he received life, and he entered the kingdom. And that's what God wants to give us today. He wants to give us life, and he wants to give us life. And there's a little word that occurs three times in that chapter when the Lord was imparting light to that blind Pharisee. What is that little word that occurs three chapters? And mind you, it is light with the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Here it is, verse 16, for God so loved the work. That's the first soul linked with the Father. What is the second soul linked with the Son? So must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have eternal life. Then this soul is linked with the Spirit. So is everyone that is born of the Spirit. So Nicodemus says, how can a man be born when he's old? And our Lord said, it's just this way. There is love that comes from the Father's heart. And there is life that flows from the Savior's death. And there's life that flashes in from the divine Spirit of God. In other words, God is the author of our salvation. Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. No life, but our Lord gives life. And he gives life. And he gives love. No love. A woman that had no husband, no one to love her, but the Lord drew near. And he said, I'm the one that loves you. And what did he do? He says, I have a gift. I'm going to fill you with the water of the word. And the water that I shall give shall be in you a well of water springing up into everlasting life. No wonder she left her water pot at his entry. And she went into the city and said, come see a man that told me all things whatsoever I did. Is not this the Christ? And an empty soul was filled with the living water of the Word. That's what God wants to do. That's what God wants to do with every one of us. And then, in chapter 5, no help. No helper. And yet, the Lord Jesus Christ takes a soul by the hand and he helps him. Lifts him up out of his degradation into the joys of everlasting life. And there, no bread. And our Lord said, I am the bread of life. Blessed are they that hunger and thirst after righteousness. They see their need. They see their nakedness. But our Lord said, they shall be fed. For I am the bread of life. Now that's how the empty water pots are filled. They are filled with the Word of God. And then, the miraculous touch of the finger of our Lord Jesus will turn that water into wine. Now let us think of the third six chapters. How the Lord turns the water into wine. The disciples were depressed. They knew something was about to happen. They didn't understand the foreordination of God in the cross. That the Lord Jesus Christ was the last and his death was necessary. They didn't understand it. And so they were depressed. But the Lord said, let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God. Believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you, I go to prepare a place for you, and if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also. And do you know, it was just the very word that lifted them out of their depression, and the water of their sorrow was turned into the joy of the Lord. That's what the Lord does. And the first thing he does, when the water pots are filled with water, he gives that miraculous touch, and there's a new birth. A new birth. And a soul is born of God. And he enters into rest. And he enters into joy. And he enters into light. And he enters into love. And he enters into one that is a keeper. And one that feeds him with the bread of life from day to day. Then the Lord goes on to say, though I'm going away, I'm going to send another comfort. And he's going to come into your soul. And he's going to feed you as my property on earth. He's the Spirit of God. And he's going to take up his abode in your heart. So you're not going to be comforted. You're going to have a friend. You're going to have an intercessor on earth. Just as you will have an intercessor in heaven. So he says, your blessing will be a double one because I go to the Father. And he turns the water into wine. Their sorrow into joy. And then he says, you're going to be left in the world. And it's a word that will hit you. But he says, be of good comfort. I have overcome the world. And we share the victory of one that has overcome the world. What joys belong to the Christian life? Yea, the miraculous touch of the finger of God. And mind you, it's the finger of God that can only turn the water into wine. You remember where the finger of God is mentioned in Daniel 5? It writes judgment upon a soul that refused the light. That was Belshazzar. But then, our Lord comes into the world. And in the very midst of men that visit him, he stood down and he wrote with his finger upon the ground. And then he stood down and he wrote again. Why did he do it twice? Because we are told that the law was given by the finger of God. And we are told that when it was given, they broke it twice. And when our Lord wrote upon the ground in the very dust of the earth on which they stood, he was saying, you are a nation that has come under the very curse of the law. You have broken it in every one of its commandments. And now he says, he that is without sin, let him cast the first stone. So the Lord Jesus writes, and that is the finger of God. And the finger of God can touch the water of the world that we fill the water past, and it can turn it into the joy of a newborn soul. So let us, in dealing with souls, fill the water pots with water. Fill the children with the Word of God. Leave it to the miraculous touch of the finger of God to bring that soul end of the kingdom, where there is rest, joy, and life, and love, and health, and breath, and satisfaction. So, the Lord turns the water into wine. Then he says, the Spirit of God will not only be in you, but he's going to work through you. And he's going to work a threefold work through you. He will convince the world of sin, of righteousness, and of judgment. And you'll be the instrument of sin, he says, because they believe not on me. Now that is the damning sin. That's the sin that lifts all other sins into the soul to damn that soul. Then he says, of righteousness, because I go to my Father. And his resurrection and ascension was the vindication of all his righteous claims on earth. And he says, of judgment, because the prince of this world is just. The originator of sin has had the sentence passed upon him. And the sentence on the basis of the cross. And all who join him in his rebellion against God will suffer the judgment of God with him. Because we read that hell was prepared for the devil and his angels, but every human being that joins with the devil and his angels in rebellion against God must inevitably share a fallen angel's doom. Then the Lord takes them right into the Father's presence. And he prays. You know, it's interesting, the Lord never prayed with his disciples, because he was on a higher place. But he prayed for them. And he said to the Father, now I don't want you to take them out of the world, but there's one thing I want thee to do. I want thee to keep them from the evil that is in the world. We are in the world, but we're not of the world. And we are in the world for God. Not to please ourselves, not for sin, but as the representatives of God. That's why we're left here. And so he commends them to the Father. And he says, keep them. Through thy word. Thy word is true. And let me say to all believers, keep to the word of God. It's the word of truth. The reliable word of truth. And we can make it the man of our conscience. And we can go by it as our guide in life. And so, water pots are empty without Christ. But he wants to fill everyone with the water of his word. And wherever there is a lodging place in the heart for the word of God, it is then that the miraculous finger of the Son of God will touch the water of the word, and he will turn it into the very joy of heaven itself. Now may the Lord richly bless his word. Shall we pray? Father, bless thy word. Bless the children, and grant that they are filled with the word today, that thou wilt use it to their salvation. We commit now each one to thee in the precious name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Now just one verse of 2:06. 2:06. Then our meeting will be over. Number 2:06. Wonderful love that rescued me sunk deep in sin. Guilty and vile as I should be, no hope with this. When every ray of light had fled, O glorious death, raising my soul from out the dead, love found a way. The first verse of our hymn, number 2:06. Oh, wonderful love that, did you know it? Oh, I'm sorry. You're not going to get a solo, I can assure you.